I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And now, honored and privileged to welcome a third former Packer and a Pro Football Hall of Famer to the Great Midwest Bank Hotline and the Wendy's Big Show. His name is Dave Robinson. Dave, appreciate the time.
Hey, fine. Thank you. How are you doing today?
Fantastic. First off, condolences to you and your former teammate, Forrest Gregg, as we get you on the program today.
Yeah, it was a great shock to me. It was I had heard that Forrest was getting weaker, it was going down, but you know, I'm getting weaker and going down too. And somebody said, I saw Dave, he's getting down, but I just never thought that he was going to pass away. But I knew he wasn't doing real well, you know. But you know, when you get to be my age and everybody on that team is getting older and older, and nobody's doing really, really well. Nobody can, none of us can. A lot of my teammates just stop playing golf and little things like that, and just chip and putt now, and they definitely don't get up and dance anymore. So,
Dave, because I thought I saw you get up and dance at the we're at the Hall of Fame dinner in Sheboygan, Leroy. I thought I saw you, huh?
Allegedly.
You saw me, but then you woke up. I tell you, it's kind of sad time for the Pack, because in the last 6 months we lost Jim Taylor and Bob Skowronski, and now Morris Gregg, three real stars, three guys around there for all six championships, and you know, it's kind of bad. It's hard to believe that these things happen. But, you know, that's life.
Dave, can you tell us a little bit about, because I'm sure under Vince Lombardi, the training camp is not the way it is now. I'm sure you guys did a lot of one-on-one, a lot of nutcrackers.
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever have to go up against Forrest that he says, hey, I want you two guys right here?
Heck no. If I saw Forrest now, I'd change my position. No, you know, my rookie year, I came in, and I'd been to the All-Star game, and I hadn't done anything. So I came to camp, and Vince was the type of guy, he wanted to see what he had in his number one or whatnot. So he set up the nutcracker drill right away, and I didn't even know what it was. You know, and so being the first two guys he said, all right, he said, Willie, you and Forrest start off. And Willie Davis and Forrest Gregg went at it. When they hit, it sounded like two bull rams here. Boom! I said, "Oh Jesus, what's going on here?" I said, "What was I into?" Then they had Ray Nitschke and Ron Kramer going. They kept boom! I said, "Oh wow!" And I searched out Mark Fleming because he was a rookie too. So I could take the rookie in. It was easy. And then I had a pretty good time with him. And then Vince came over. I was all set. Had lined up. I was going to get with. I think I was Boy Dow or somebody's coming. I said, "I got a good one this time." And Vince says, Boydie, get out of there. Kramer, get in there. Ron Kramer. So one-on-one with Ron Kramer. And, oh, Jesus. And after that, that's my initial thing into the Nutcracker. And, you know, we hit all the time. During tour days, we came out in pads, thigh pads, just some shoulder pads and a helmet. And we'd go 7-on-7 in the morning. And you know, it wasn't a real tackle, but we hit fairly good. And then every afternoon was live. You took four pads in the afternoon, and we had some form of scrimmage, 11 on 11 sometime. Or maybe we had 7 on 7, but it was live. Everything was live. And a lot of times they had the first team against the first team, offense and defense. And they were awesome. And the only time I had to deal with Forrest is when they, I don't know what they call it now, when he's called a full block, when a tight end goes down and the tackle loops around and takes the linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
And I told Willie, if that time that end goes down, I'm going to hold him off you, but please don't let Forrest out free. Please don't let Forrest get me looking. And he laughed. So we had time.
Yeah,
And then every Saturday during preseason, we had a full-fledged scrimmage.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
We had every day. And you know, our regular season games.
Wait. Hold on. Wait, Robbie. Robert, back it up. So every Saturday,
oh my goodness,
full-fledged scrimmage.
Oh, yeah.
Full pads.
He said, oh, yeah, like a no
big deal. Full pads, oh, yeah. Now, here's what happened. The first series was always first team offense, first team defense. Maybe depends on how Vince felt, first one or two series. Then he started substituting rookies in there and young guys and trying to see so he could compare how they played against the veterans. But it was full go. Wasn't a hold up on it. It was full go.
And no Brunlaw? You know, no Brunlaw out there? Nobody Brunlaw?
No,
Brunlaw?
This is killer. No, this is killer. Be killed. hear people say that you come to camp and you make the team during preseason. Well, a lot of guys thought that meant we came to camp out of shape and then had to get in shape during the preseason. Now, you had to be in shape when you came to camp because you had to run that 2-mile run and all that stuff. You had to be in good shape, physical, your cardiovascular system, but you weren't in hitting shape. And what Vince's job was, he saw fit, was to get us in hitting shape, get us used to hitting and getting hit during those 6 weeks. And when we played against another team, it was a full-fledged scrimmage. Wasn't no BS. It was hit. And I can't ever imagine Vince letting somebody come out in street clothes. Mm. Now, not on the football field. That was just unheard of. But we had a good time. But if you I'll put it this way, you could be penciled in as a starter during the off season. If you didn't play good during those 6 preseason games, you didn't start come opening day.
Talking with Pro Football Hall of Famer. Talking with Pro Football Hall of Famer Dave Robinson on the Wendy's Big Show.
Hey, Dave, when I think about Forrest, I think about toughness.
Yeah.
I think about three-a-days, not two-a-days, three-a-days. I think about the Bear games, when him and Ditka and all these, Hallison, just the Packer-Bear rivalry, how nasty that used to be. That's what I think of when I think of Forrest. What about some of those, Bear rivalries when he was around, how tough that was?
Hey, listen, I owe a lot of making the teams to the Bear rivalry because when in 1963, my rookie year, the Bears beat us twice, and they were beating us up pretty bad down in Chicago the second game, and I got put in the game, and I played against Dicka in college. In fact, my sophomore year, he's a junior. He left the game anyway. I was in on the hit to hitting that broke him up. And left the game, so I wasn't.
Wait! You trying to gloss over something? Did y'all take Dicka out of the game?
Uh-oh, allegedly.
Yeah, he left the game.
He left the game.
He left on his own power.
Okay, here's the thing. What you don't realize, Dicka in college was an exceptionally fine defensive end. So in those days, you had to go both ways, offense and defense.
Oh, right.
Dicka played right in on offense, left in on defense. And when we ran the ball to our left, around the end, anybody, Dicka used to come down the line real sharp and catch the play. Going the other way, away from him. Well, we saw it in the film, so we decided what we'd do. By the way, I was a guard my sophomore year, too.
Mm-hmm.
And so myself and the other guard, we decided when the stuff went, the left guard was going to pull, and the right guard, which was me, I'm supposed to take one step and reel and cut Dicka.
Oh, man.
And it was unexpected. Well, I pivot, turned. The left guard, who I'm not mention his name, but he wasn't the sharpest knife in the drawer. He pivoted also.
He said,
"Nice." Dicka was coming out, hauling for election. We high loading, boom, boom. I said, "Yo, I could have had him. You didn't have to help me, but thank you, man." Dicka hobbled off the field. But anyway, the big thing was because of those things, I didn't have a fear of playing against Dicka. Anybody knows.
But Dave, I want to bring this back. So what? When you say, for our listeners, when you say high load him, what does that mean? Can you explain what a high load is?
Well, I took him on high, up around the chest area, and the other guy cut him at the knees.
That's a chop block. That's not legal.
Yeah, that's illegal now. They don't let you high load.
You can't do that no more.
Yeah, it's the most fun.
It's a little bit above the knee. It was just a little above. I'll say this, say the waist. Not actually.
He tried to clean it up.
He ain't going
to
clean it up.
It was high low. Boy, he got as high as he could get, but that was hitting me. So we had, that's high low. But we, all the National Football League, always as was then and is now, was very even.
Right.
The big key, the whether you win or not, is your mental approach and how you feel. If you feel you can dominate a guy and you do, you're much, much better chance to dominate him than you go in fearing that you might can't handle that guy. And so when I went up against Dick, even with all the records he had, I didn't have any fear of him. I knew that I had played against him before, and I just felt comfortable playing against Mike Dicker, and that's one of my better games. You know, Mike Dicker was the reason. I never wanted to play pro ball, by the way. I went to college for one reason. My wife wanted me to get a degree so we could get married. That was it. That was the only reason why I went to college. And the only way I was going to get to college was to play football. And after I say we took out Dicker my sophomore year, my junior year, Dicker was the rookie of the year in the NFL. And that's when I went home and told my wife, I said, she's my girlfriend, I said, hey, if he's the best they got, I can make that league. I'm going to go play pro football.
There you go.
That's when I decided I was going to play pro ball.
Wow.
And sure enough, he was the best tight end in the league at that time. Well, Mackey came with me at the same time.
Right. And he didn't just play pro football.
The best tight end of all was Ron Kramer. I'm going to tell you that now.
Ron was good. Go ahead, baby Darren.
Not only did you play pro football, but you were one of the best at the position to do it. Three NFL championships, two-time Super Bowl champion. Dave Robinson joining us on the Wendy's Big Show. Dave, one of the coolest stories that I always remember you telling is of the Ice Bowl when y'all are looking at each other and you go over to the equipment guy and say, I don't care what Vince said. Somebody go get me some brown gloves so he won't even know the difference, but it is too cold out here.
He said he did it to wearing gloves. When anybody who's coming to contact with the ball, drop a ball, because we didn't have the good gloves you have today. All we had was those cotton garden gloves, you know. So everybody's up there moaning and groaning. I told Dominic Gentile, the equipment man, I said, Dominic, give me a pair of brown gloves. You never know the difference. And I wore them the whole game. And some people don't believe me, but a guy got me a picture. Got a picture showing me in the game, and you can see I got the gloves on. The thing is, I'd line up, and as a running play, I kept the gloves on. Well, if it was like first down, I had my gloves on, and all of a sudden I saw a pass. I snapped my gloves on, threw them on the ground right in front of him. But he was not going to say I dropped the ball because I had those gloves on. I tell you that. But it was just different type, a different world, it's just a joy, a fun joy to play ball, you know. But and the big thing is one last thing. In those days, we had film, we didn't have videotape, and they had disc quarters each quarter. So we got the film and put it in the reel on the camera. We saw our offense play. I mean, we saw the opposing team's offense that we had to play against. Then we see the opposing team's defense against our offense. And then the whole game was there. We saw the whole sequence of the game as it was going on. So we'd study when the offense was playing the ball, the opposing offense, we studied every play to get things set. When our offense was in and their defense there, they just ran through the cap games without stopping. They just kept going and going and going. But invariably, you see Forrest Gray lay somebody out, and you hear somebody go, "Oh, did you see Forrest on that one?" And they stop. And Phil Banks would run it back, and sure enough, Forrest laid in a pancaked another guy. I mean, so we really saw, we even getting in the game next to him, we saw all that stuff, everything they did. And I'm telling you something, Forrest was one of the best. He took on all the guys. I mean, he played, you know, playing the right tackle, he played against all the Deacon Joneses and those guys in the league, and he did very well against them anyway.
Well, Deacon Jones said he's one of the best offensive tackles he's ever went against.
That's right. He was. He was quick, and he was big, and not big like the guys today.
Right.
He was big for the time. And he was strong, quick, and he was very smart. And also, some of the guys on offense told me that Forrest Gray more than once would come to Bart in the huddle before it started and said, "Bart, such and so and so is limping, I can get him. Or so and so is easy for me to take down, I guess, and take him out. Or I can take him either way." Or he'd tell him what to do. And Bart would nod his head and then call a play based on what Forrest told him. And it always worked. Forrest always had his info very on T. So he was very instrumental, you know. See, our quarterbacks had to call their own plays in those days. Things were different, so.
Dave, and now we get our quarterback nowadays is changing the plays and calling the plays, and people are not happy with him. Dave, we appreciate the time, man, and really appreciate the stories. It was incredible.
Oh.
It was incredible the career you had, and incredible stories and incredible times in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to leave. I'll just tell everybody, listen, everybody tonight, just say a little prayer for Forrest Gray. Just bless his soul, goes the right place. His heart, I know, is as big as the world. He was the one great football player. One real quick story, that I think this is the last one. When I got drafted, I've got a roster of the Green Bay Packers. So all these guys from the South, and I'd been down South to play when I was at Penn State, and every time I went South to play, I caught hell. And I said, why do I want to play good this team with all these Southerns on? And one of the first guys I met was Forrest Gregg, and he made me feel so much at home. And I knew, I mean, within a nanosecond of coming to our camp, that the only thing that counted at the Green Bay Packer camp was not white or black. It was, can you block and can you tackle? And that's what I felt. I mean, that I felt right at home to go play ball. And that's how it was. And we had a bunch of guys in the South, and not one man wanted to know anything about you, didn't care what color you were. Can you block and can you tackle? And that was it. And Forrest led the group. So that's it.
Dave, really, Dave, appreciate it, man.
God bless Forrest Gregg.
And God bless you, Dave Robinson, Pro Football Hall of Famer. Thanks for the time, man.
You're welcome. Bye.
That's Dave Robinson joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. That was amazing. Dave Robinson joined us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019. Look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local, common sense lending to your community since 1935.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.